The church is composed of the redeemed, but it is not composed of the perfect. Now, what I find interesting is the world reminds us about this all the time, don't they? I'm not going down there to that church and worship with them. They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down there. I know several of those individuals, and those individuals are in sin down there, and they just try to act holier than thou. Did you know down there at that congregation, they have an adulterer in that church? I've done some business with those members of the church, and as far as I'm concerned, they're just a bunch of liars. Folks, that's some of the opinions at times that members outside of the church have about us. And the reason is because we have manifested some of those qualities to those who are in the world. You see, we're redeemed, but we are not perfect. Now, one thing I do know, or at least I hope is true, is that most Christians are doing the best they can do in order to live godly lives. I know this is true. Most of us would never involve ourselves in what we might refer to as the big sins. Murder, extortion, homosexuality. Folks, most members of the church just would never involve themselves in those big sins like that, but it's harder, is it not, to keep ourselves away from what we might refer to as those little sins. Sins that somehow we rationalize, sins somehow we justify, sin somehow that we tend just to overlook and act as though, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. And one of those sins is the sin of gossip. Gossip is simply defined as idle talk, rumors. It involves information that is personal or private being spread from one person to another person that has no business being spread or talked about in a congregation. When I thought about this idea of gossip, I thought about some of the synonyms for gossip. Just look at a few. Slander. Rumors, backbiting, tale-bearing, whispering, meddling, busybody, evil surmising, false witness, chatter, a little small talk, digging up dirt, scuttlebutt, dirty laundry, babble, back fence talk, beauty shop talk, and defamation. Folks, that is a long list of things that individuals do that fall into the category of gossip. When you talk about gossip, the Bible plainly condemns it, doesn't it? You go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. That's a pretty plain command as far as the old law was concerned. Don't do it. Don't go about as a talebearer telling stories and things about other individuals. You turn to another passage in the Old Testament, Proverbs 10, verse 16. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander, watch this, is a fool. It's pretty plain, isn't it? You slander another, you go about telling tales on another. Folks, that individual is a fool. You turn to the New Testament, Romans 1, verses 29 through 31. The Apostle Paul is talking about sin among the Gentile world. And he gives a laundry list of sins in which those individuals had been involved. And 11th on the list is the sin of whispering. We turn to Ephesians 4:31. And Paul tells us this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, now note this next one, and evil speaking be put away from you with all clamor. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about widows, and he talks about the elderly widows, and he talks about younger women who are widows, and he exhorts those younger widows to marry, to have children, to engage themselves in the activities of the home, because there is a reason for that. And he gives the reason in verse 13, wherewithal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to speak. Over and over and over, the Bible addresses the topic of gossip, backbiting, slandering, and whispering in a congregation. The title of our lesson is this: there are whisperings in the church. If I were to go around the congregation and ask individuals, is gossip wrong? The very first thing that individuals would say is, oh yes, Vic, the Bible says gossip is wrong. In other words, we mentally know that and understand it. So I'm not going to spend a lot more time talking about the condemnation of it, so to speak, in Scripture, or the prohibition of it. But what I do want to talk about are the evils of gossip. And my friends, they are many. One of the evils of gossip is this: it violates God's will. Just a moment ago, we listed five passages of Scripture that talked about slander and talebearing and whispering and being busybodies and tattlers. And every one of them looked at that action in the negative, called individuals fools, prohibited, classified it among other sins in which individuals are involved. Gossip is sin. It violates the will of God. My friends, when God says don't, and yet we do, that is sin, isn't it? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not what? God. 2 John 9. So not only do we sin, but we also do not have God. John says in 1 John 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. God says, don't gossip. I gossip, I sin. It's a violation of the Word of God. Number two. Gossip many times spreads lies, doesn't it? Folks, gossip oftentimes communicates untruths. And by that I mean this. Sometimes they are just blatant lies. Sometimes they are little half-truths. Sometimes it's a little truth with a little error. Sometimes it's a little truth that's been omitted. Sometimes it is truth with some additions added to it. There was a man on one occasion. He heard that other individuals had been gossiping about him, and he had his 5-year-old son sitting beside him. And when he had heard what had been said, he turned to his son and he made this statement. Gossip as usual. One third right, two thirds wrong. My friends, the Bible exhorts us not to lie. Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for ye are members one of another. Ephesians 4:25, Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man. My friends, our lips are not to be lips full of lies and spreading those lies to other people. Number three, gossip breaks trust. And an interesting point about trust is this. The very essence of every relationship is trust, isn't it? What is trust? The definition that I'm about to give you is my own, and I developed this particular definition of trust when we were dealing with young people in our wilderness program at the children's home. We had one trust exercise through which we put children. We had built a platform on the side of a tree. It was about 6 feet high. A child had to get up there and turn his back on that platform and get as straight as a board. We had a line of five individuals on one side, five individuals on the other side, underneath that platform with arms locked in order to catch him. The leader would say, I'll count to three and you fall. That's trust. You see, trust is putting all or part of my care into the hands of another person. My friends, you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We are the people of God. We are supposed to be the greatest people on the face of the earth, are we not? And if there is anybody that I can trust, if there is anybody that I ought to be able to put my care into without being harmed, it ought to be another brother or sister in the body of Christ. It ought to be. And yet, all of us have at sometimes felt like David in the long ago. Psalm 41 verse 9, David says this, yea, mine own familiar friend. Now listen to this next statement. In whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You could break that verse into four parts and preach a sermon on it. My friend, in whom I trusted. One who sat at my table and ate my bread, and yet he's lifted up his heel against me. You see, he had put his care in the hands of this individual. In this case, a man by the name of Ahithophel. And that trust was violated. Fourth, gossip destroys relationships. We just said that it breaks trust. Well, once trust is broken, guess what? Then friendships, relationships are going to be broken. We turn to two passages of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. The last part of that verse says this. A whisperer separateth chief friends. I love the next verse. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now listen to this next statement. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. It's pretty strong language, is it not? Apparently Solomon knew something about individuals breaking trust. Now there's two ways that can be done. Folks, first, a gossip can separate himself from another who used to be his friend. I'm your friend, and all of a sudden I learn that you love to go out and you love to gossip and talk about me. I'm not going to be your friend very long. Don't want to be your friend very long. You're going to cut me to the back. You're going to talk behind my back. You're going to do me evil behind my back. Talk about me in dark places. Who wants to be a friend with that person? Not me. Not me. The gossip can also separate two individuals who used to be friends. Can you imagine a gossip going to another person in the congregation? Did you hear what Vic said about you? Whether it's true or not. Did you know the preacher is against this group of people in the congregation? Did you know that? All of a sudden, my friend thinks that I'm talking about them. All of a sudden, people who used to trust me think that I'm an evil person and I'm against them. And the next time I see those individuals, guess what? They don't want to have much to do with me. They don't want to talk to me. There is a distance that is put between us. There is a coldness that now separates us. Why? Because a gossip got involved in our lives. That's why. Gossips, whisperers, separateth chief friends. It's what the Bible says. Fifth, whisperers promote strife. That little word strife means this: contention, discord, fighting, bickering, brawling, disunity within congregations. There's a passage of Scripture in Proverbs 26, verse 20, that states a truth. At the very opening of that verse, it says this: where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Is that true? You start a campfire and you've got 8 or 10 pieces of wood in that fire. Guess what you have to do? Just pull out the wood. Separate the wood. And if you don't have wood, the fire goes out. Now the writer takes that illustration and now makes a very clear application to life. Listen to what he says. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceaseth. Ah, you see, a talebearer is a troublemaker. A talebearer stirs up strife in congregations, causes bickering and arguing and fights among members of the church. When talebearers leave congregations, you know how congregations feel? They feel like a load has been lifted off their back. The troubler is gone. What I find interesting is that strife is listed in the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And the individual who is the instigator, the individual who is the one who stirs that strife, my friends, that individual is guilty before God for stirring up works of the flesh among God's children. Gossiping exhibits a lack of self-control. The Bible plainly teaches that one of the Christian graces is temperance, self-control, does it not? And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now note this, and to knowledge temperance, self-control. And one of the things that we need to learn how to control is our speech. My friends, we need to learn how to put a harness on our lips. And the Bible is clear about it. In a multitude of words, there warneth not sin. But he that, watch this, refraineth his lips from sin is wise. James has a powerful statement in James 1, verse 26. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth himself, this man's religion is vain. That's another four-part sermon. A man seems to be religious. Comes to church, studies his Bible, participates in the works of the church. He seemeth to be religious, but he bridleth not his tongue. He's a loose cannon. Deceiveth himself. You see, this is one of those sins that it is easy in our minds to justify. He says that man's religion is empty, useless, worthless, and vain. Good for nothing. My friends, God wants us to discipline ourselves, and a part of that is putting a harness on the tongue. Here's another interesting thing about gossip. It destroys character, doesn't it? I want you to think about this. A Christian can be knowledgeable. A Christian can be active. And yet, guess what? He or she can be known as the gossip. Ain't that sad? You're smart as a whip in the Bible. You're active in almost every work in which the church engages, and yet when your name is mentioned, the way they describe you is the gossip. Not the worker. Not the smart one. The gossip. You see, gossip destroys character, doesn't it? I wonder if there was any good thing Judas did. Was there anything good he did? He was chosen to be an apostle. Folks, there had to be something that Jesus saw in him that was good. And yet the only way that we remember Judas is as the betrayer. The traitor. You see, he ruined his character with one action, didn't he? You see, gossip can be the one thing that defines us. That's sad, isn't it? Every congregation that I've ever preached in, you're there and it doesn't take very long until somebody walks up to you and guess what they say? Be careful. Brother, sister, so-and-so, the gossip. Wow. Scary, isn't it? Here's something that's interesting. Have you ever looked up the definition of the word devil? Folks, the definition of the word devil is slanderer. That's what it means. The false accuser. You see, that's what Satan does. He goes before God and he falsely accuses us before God. Isn't that what he did to Job? Job only serves you because you bless him. That was false. That was a lie. That was slander. What I'm saying is this. When you and I enter into the realm of gossip and slander and backbiting and tattling, my friends, you and I take upon us the character of Satan. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Whispering, gossip undermines authority as well. Regardless of what position of authority it is, my friends, it is God who's placed individuals in those positions of authority. According to Romans chapter 13, 1. And notice I put up there Acts 20, verse 28. There Paul is talking to the elders of Ephesus, is he not? And he says this, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Those men were divinely appointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because they met the qualifications of elders found in the pages of God's Word and deserved to be in the office. Perfect? No. Qualified, yes, and appointed by the Spirit of God. What does the Bible say to us The Bible tells us, as followers, if these men are qualified, then we are to what? Submit to their authority. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, the Bible says. They deserve your honor. They deserve your respect. They deserve you to follow them and obey them. That's what they deserve. The Bible teaches that. But you see, gossip undermines their authority. Individuals start raising doubts about the leadership. Well, they're not very good. Well, they don't know what they're doing. Well, they're inexperienced. And all of a sudden, they start to ridicule the leadership in the ears of other individuals. They start picking up the phone and making those phone calls. They start seeing a brother or sister in the store on a corner, and they got to start talking about what the elders are doing and the leadership is doing. Can you believe those guys down there? Folks, you want to know what that does? That develops opposition in congregations. It becomes a us against them. Us, the ones who aren't happy, against them, the eldership, the leadership of the congregation. And all of a sudden, members start making evil plans against those individuals. You see, it undermines those individuals. David knew a lot about it, and he spoke about it. Thy tongue deviseth mischief. Like a sharp razor, he says, dealing deceitfully. Thou lovest evil and not good. Lying rather than speaking righteously. Thou lovest devouring words. O thou deceitful tongue. That's verses 2 through 4. You see, David, as king of Israel, he knew about the power of the tongue and how it was wielded against him in his leadership. He calls it mischievous, deceptive, devouring, unrighteous. My friends, gossip can cause the loss of an individual's soul. That's how bad it is. I don't think sometimes we realize how evil gossip really is. Remember, at the outset of this lesson, I classified it in our minds as one of the little sins. And we rationalize it, we justify it. Well, I said it for another person's good. How about this one? Well, others needed to know. How about this one? Well, what I said wasn't that bad. Or this one? Well, I believe it was helpful. You see, we have all these ways and all these means to justify why we will take private information, bad information, information that's twisted, tainted, and spread that to other individuals. A while ago I may mention that whispering is the 11th sin in that list of sins given by the Apostle Paul in Romans 1. Verse 32, he says this, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." That's Paul's words, not mine. You see, sin of gossip can cost us our souls. Conclusion. Sadly, gossip is found in every congregation of the Lord's people. I've been preaching for 35 years. I don't know exactly how many congregations. It's been quite a few. And I've never found one wherein there is no gossip. Never. It's amazing, isn't it? Usually, and this is what's interesting, usually there is a circle of gossipers. Somehow there's two or three or four, and boy, guess what? They got the lowdown on the whole congregation. And then they've got a couple of folks that are out there on the periphery that they love to call and they love to talk to and spread a little gossip, because here's what they know. Eventually this mess will spread through the whole church. And guess what? It does. And they know that. Folks, they gossip about people. They gossip about events. They gossip about church programs. They gossip about elders' decisions. It's as if we don't have anything better to do. Just got to gossip about something. There's gossip at Oceanside. Let me tell you about two things that have happened to me just since I've come back this last time. I preached a sermon on one occasion, and there was a member of the church who got a little bit upset with me. That's not uncommon. She confronts me back in the fellowship hall, and she's upset, no doubt. That's okay. We'll work through it. We'll talk through it. We'll get by. That's fine. That very week, I go visit a man in rehab. He's been at the hospital for several days. He's been in rehab for almost a month. He has not been at Oceanside, and his family is not here. Within the course of the conversation, he says, "You know what I heard? I heard you had a little run-in with so-and-so in the fellowship hall." How'd you know that? Where'd you get that information from? My big question is this: why did you need to know? I was stunned. Just stunned. Second event, not long ago. Again, I'm out visiting. Person's talking to me. Well, guess what? There's going to be a letter given to the elders, and that letter's going to be read by the elders this Sunday. A letter? What letter? I don't know anything about a letter. Oh, yeah, there's a letter. Contact the elders. The elders don't even know about a letter. Now, this person has not been able to attend services in weeks. And yet, that person knew. Who told you? And worse than that, why did they think you need to know? You're not even attending. There's gossip in the Oceanside congregation. Folks, we need to make some resolutions as members of the body of Christ. And one of the resolutions is this: I will spread no gossip, and I will listen to no gossip. When it comes to me talking about other people, I'm not going to do that, especially if it's unhealthy. Now, if I am encouraging, if I am exhorting, if I'm passing on good information about people, okay, folks, people don't need to know about the private sin and iniquity and transgressions and violations of other people. Shut your mouth. I will not spread gossip. And I won't listen to gossip. Did you hear about them elders? No, I didn't. And I will not. Click, hang up the phone. You know that program that they got down there at that church? I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to listen to this. And you hang up the phone or you walk away. Remember, where there is no fire, wood, the fire goeth out. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. There's a passage that I'm going to end this lesson on. And it's spoken by Jesus. Pretty powerful. It's found in Luke 12, verse 3. Listen to what he says. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Notice this next statement. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be what? Proclaimed upon the housetops. You see, sometimes we whisper and we talk behind the backs of others because we think nobody can hear. God hears. And my friends, one day, God will take those things that have been spoken in darkness and He shall reveal them in the light. God knows. I am resolved that I will not spread gossip and I will not listen to gossip. Wouldn't it be grand if the Oceanside Church of Christ could become the only church in the brotherhood with no gossip? Be wonderful, wouldn't it? You see, folks, the church comprises the redeemed, but not the what? But not the perfect. And yes, even though we may not engage ourselves in those big sins, we've got to be careful about the little sins. You see, they're classified in the works of the flesh just like the big ones are. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to repent of sin and ask God to forgive you. One of the things that really concerns me is this. Oftentimes when I hear of things being said, names are attached to them. I hate that. You know what? I find out who people are and I hate that because I don't want to know. But I find out. It's sad. And sometimes we need to just get on our knees and we need to ask God to forgive us. And we need to repent, don't we? And change from that way of living. Maybe there's sin in your life you need to ask God to forgive you tonight. We ask you to do that. Maybe you're not a Christian and you want to be. Through faith in Jesus Christ, repentance of sins, confession of His sweet name, and immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins, you can become a Christian, a child of God tonight. Not a perfect people, but a redeemed people. My friend's a member of the house of the saved. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing?